This morning we continue in our series in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. And our reading comes from the fifth chapter and verses 16 through 26, which is printed for us in our bulletin. Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to Him once again in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, as rivers of living water, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. Direct and rule our hearts in all things, empower us for witness and ministry, and daily increase in us your gifts and fruit, to the glory of God the Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, imagine trying to walk up the down escalator. Now, some of you have a little bit of a guilty look on your face. You've actually done this, so you don't have to imagine too much. But trying to walk up the down escalator. This may seem fun. It may even be fun for a few moments. But it proves, ultimately, to be a tiresome exercise in futility. And there's a number of videos on the internet that show it can even be dangerous to oneself and others. It is so much wiser, isn't it? More mature, we would say, and productive, fruitful, we might put it, to just take the up escalator when you're wanting to go up. The up escalator directs you and empowers you to go in the direction you are really wanting to go. A Christian who walks by the Spirit, as Paul puts it in Galatians 5:16, is like the person who takes the up escalator in order to go up. Their walk, that is, the character of their life, is marked by wisdom, maturity, and a concern for the well-being of others. Their walk is directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit who lives within them. When a Christian is not walking by the Spirit, however, they resemble the person who takes the down escalator in order to go up. Their walk is marked less by wisdom, maturity, productivity, fruitfulness, and a concern for others. They are opposing the direction and the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit in their life, and it shows. The passage that we have come to in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians is a passage that calls us as believers to walk in the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit, as Paul puts it in verse 16, and to be led by the Spirit, as he puts it in verse 18, and to live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, as he puts it in verse 25. So Paul is saying in this passage, don't work in opposition to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Spirit and allow the Spirit to direct you and empower you to live as a loving child of the Heavenly Father and as a faithful, fruitful disciple of Jesus, His Son. This morning, I want us to consider a couple of principles regarding what Paul means when he calls us to walk by the Spirit. Just a couple of principles to keep in mind. And then, God willing, next week we will look more closely at the works of the flesh, which are opposed to the Spirit in verses 19 through 21. And then in the following weeks, we will take a detailed look at the fruit of the Spirit, as described in verses 22 through 23. So a mini-series on the fruit of the Spirit within our series on Galatians. But this morning, just 2 points regarding Paul's call to walk by the Spirit, or walk in the Spirit, as some translations put it. The first point I want to make this morning is that we are not witnessing a bait and switch on the part of the Apostle Paul. This is not a bait and switch. This is not a Rick Roll. If you don't know what a Rick Roll is, ask a teenager near you. This is not a bait and switch on the part of the Apostle Paul. You know, as we consider this passage in light of what Paul said before this, we might be thinking, okay, Paul, This has just been one big bait and switch. You've been telling us that salvation is not based on what we do or don't do, but rather what Christ has done for us. You've been telling us that we're not justified before God by conforming to a list of do's and don'ts. But now, Paul, you seem to be presenting us with lists of do's and don'ts. Even telling us that if we do certain things, or make a practice of doing certain things, as you put it, Paul, in verse 20, that we won't inherit the kingdom of God. What's going on here? Well, upon closer examination, we find that what Paul is doing here is not a bait and switch. Instead, he is continuing and applying what he's already been saying in this epistle. Paul does not move from wooing us with grace, grace, grace in order to start pounding us with law, law, law. In fact, as you no doubt noticed, he said in verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Moreover, Paul has been talking about the Spirit in this regard and along these lines throughout his epistle. Back in chapter 3, he reminded the Galatians that they did not earn the Spirit's presence in their life by performing good works, but rather they received the Spirit into their lives through faith. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not something that we earn by our efforts. The Holy Spirit is someone we receive by faith in God's Son. It's all of grace, this work of the Holy Spirit. and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In chapter 4, Paul reminded the Galatians that they, like all believers, had been given new spiritual life by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that because they were God's adopted sons, because they were born anew into the family of God, God had sent the Spirit of His Son into their hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." In other words, the Holy Spirit graciously enables believers to experience Jesus' relationship with the Heavenly Father and to speak to the Father with freedom, confidence, and assurance of His love. So here, the theme of the Spirit's gracious ministry in our lives continues. It is a continuation of that and other themes which Paul has been weaving into his epistle already. So Paul is not doing a bait and switch. Instead, and this takes us to our second point this morning, Paul is discussing the connection between belief and behavior. Paul's not doing a bait and switch. He's discussing the connection between belief and behavior. The believer in Jesus has, by definition, placed his faith in Jesus. He believes that Jesus is his Savior. He also believes that Jesus is his example of how to love God and love neighbor, which the believer now wants to do. The believer admits that he has failed to live according to God's design in love for God and neighbor. That's why he believes in Jesus as Savior, because he believes that Jesus is the only person ever to walk the earth to live in perfect love of God and neighbor. He's the only person who never sinned and who never fell short of God's glory, of God's perfect standard, of God's character. He loved God and neighbor with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He loved God in that way, and he loved his neighbor as himself. And so the believer has looked away from self and to Jesus to be his Savior, trusting in Jesus' death on the cross as his atonement for all of his sins. But the believer has also said, you know what? Realizing I have fallen short and realizing Jesus is the fulfillment of the law of love, of loving neighbor as self and loving God above all else, I want to be like Jesus. So the believer not only believes in Jesus as Savior, he believes that Jesus is his example of how to live. So the believer wants to be like Jesus. The question is, how does the believer become more like Jesus? How does the believer behave like Jesus? The answer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. William Temple gave the following helpful illustration on this theme. He said, "It's no good giving me a play like Hamlet or King Lear and telling me to write a play like that. Shakespeare could do it, I can't. But if the genius of Shakespeare could come and live in me, then I could write plays like his. And if the Spirit of Jesus could come and live in me, well, then I could live a life like his." God's purpose is to make us like Christ, and God's way is to fill us with His Holy Spirit. Apart from Christ, I cannot live like Christ. But by the presence of Christ's Spirit in my life, I can grow in being more like Christ in my relationship with God and in my relationship with others. So the Holy Spirit is the connection between belief and behavior. Through the Holy Spirit, we believe in Jesus. And through the ministry of the Holy Spirit who dwells within each and every believer, we begin to behave more like Jesus. We do so not to try to earn more favor with God or to keep the favor we have. No, we do so to express gratitude to God for redeeming us through the cross of His Son. And we do so to glorify God by reflecting the character of His Son. We do so for those two reasons. To glorify God, to express gratitude to God for redeeming us through the cross of His Son, and to glorify God by reflecting the character of His Son. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives graciously to do both of those things, which we as believers indwelt by the Spirit want to do. He does so by uniting us to Jesus and keeping us in step with Jesus. Or to put it another way, the Holy Spirit delivers us from two ditches that we can easily fall into when it comes to our behavior as Christians. The one ditch we may call legalism, the other ditch we may call license. Now, we've already talked a lot about legalism in our study of Galatians. The Judaizers were legalists. They were telling the Galatians that faith in Jesus was not enough to be justified or accepted as righteous in God's sight. The Judaizers were telling the Galatians that they needed to add to their faith in Jesus works of the Old Testament law, in other words, their own human efforts in order to gain and keep God's favor. Paul said, no. With all the apostolic authority vested in him, he said, no. That is not the good news of God's free grace in Jesus Christ. That is not the Christian doctrine of justification, which teaches that we are accepted in God's sight, not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has done for us, and because of His righteousness freely given and freely received by faith. A righteousness that covers us before a holy God. Paul said, what the Judaizers are teaching is not good news. It is not the gospel. It is legalism. It will weigh you down, cripple your witness, make you harsh, bitter, envious, and backbiting. And it dishonors the God of grace. Now, the reality is that there is a Judaizer, or two or three, within all of us, still seeking to justify ourselves, comparing ourselves to others to feel more spiritual or theological or moral. And thus, we need the Holy Spirit as much as the Galatians did in order to repent of legalism and rest and trust in Jesus and rejoice and give thanks for what He has done for us moment by moment and day by day. So by uniting us to Jesus and through Him to the Heavenly Father and centering our lives on Jesus, the Holy Spirit helps us stay out of the ditch of legalism. The Holy Spirit loves to bring us into the familial fellowship, the welcoming, accepting fellowship between Jesus and the Heavenly Father, and enjoy that fellowship through the Spirit as God's adopted children. So when we fall into the ditch of legalism, the Holy Spirit, the gracious Spirit, as we sang about earlier, beautiful hymn, gracious Spirit, dwell with me. The gracious Spirit comes alongside us. That's one of the names given for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside to encourage and to help. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us when we fall into the ditch of legalism as our merciful helper, and he brings us out of it. The Holy Spirit does not say to us, well, look at the ditch you have fallen into. You have been very bad trying to be very good in order to earn God's favor. You should have known better. Haven't we talked about this before? Haven't you gotten it by now, this gospel of free grace? No, that's not how the Holy Spirit deals with us when we fall into the ditch of legalism. Do you know why? Because the Holy Spirit is not a legalist. So he doesn't deal with us that way. The Holy Spirit is a gracious deliverer. So he reaches down and brings us out of the ditch of legalism and back onto the path of God's generous grace. Thus, as Paul put it in verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you under the law as a means of getting right with God. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to rely on the law as your means of justification. And this is good news. The Holy Spirit leads us into a deeper experience of the grace of Christ and the love of the Heavenly Father. So when we fall into that ditch, we call out to the Holy Spirit, come and help me, restore me to that place of blessing, that place of rest, that place of joy in the grace of Jesus and the love of the Father. And the other ditch that the Holy Spirit helps keep us out of by uniting us to Jesus and centering our lives on his grace and the love of the Father is the ditch of license. A definition of license in this sense, provided by one dictionary, is freedom to behave as one wishes, especially in a way that results in excessive or unacceptable behavior. Now, some people, when they hear that Christianity teaches that salvation is free and that Christ sets us free from the law as a means of justifying ourselves before God, that we are no longer under law but under grace, they think that Christianity teaches that Christians are free to behave any way they wish, especially in ways that result in excessive or unacceptable behavior. And this leads people, when they have this understanding, this leads people to either reject Christianity, or at least the salvation by grace alone version of Christianity, because they think it necessarily leads to immorality. They think, well, this whole grace thing, this whole Christianity, that you can be right with God simply by confessing your sin and placing your faith in his Son, and all your sins are erased, and you're right with God forever, they think that that necessarily is going to lead to immorality. It's certainly not going to cultivate morality in a person's life if they think they can just get away with whatever they've done and can get away with whatever they're going to do in the future because of grace. And so they reject Christianity, or the free grace version, if you will, which we believe is the true version of Christianity, they reject it because they say, well, that's not going to lead to a moral life and a moral society. Or it leads them to accept Christianity or the salvation by grace alone version of it with little or no thought about what this might mean for how they live their life. In other words, they don't think too much about how their belief connects to their behavior. The Holy Spirit helps keep us out of that ditch as well. And he is gracious to help us out of that one as well when we fall into it. As Paul put it in verse 16, walk by the Spirit. In other words, walk in the direction the Spirit leads you as he guides you through his word, and as he empowers you through his word and sacraments, and the prayers of God's people, bringing the presence of the risen Christ into your life and assuring you of the Father's love and care. In other words, don't try to live the Christian life in your own wisdom and strength. Live in the wisdom and strength of the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. Paul goes on to say in verse 16, walk by the Spirit. Walk informed by the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh or the desires of your sinful nature, remaining sin, the sinful desires that remain within us, this side of glory. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So just as the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you into the ditch of legalism, he is likewise not going to lead you into the ditch of license. He is not going to lead you into, for example, sexual immorality, or strife, or fits of anger, or envy. We'll talk much more about this, Lord willing, next week. But the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you into these things. And so the person who says, well, I really believe God is calling me to leave my wife, this other woman. Well, we can go to Galatians and say, that's not God. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not lead you into those things. The Holy Spirit leads you out of those things and into the presence and the teaching and the wisdom and the sanctifying grace of Jesus, to the glory of God the Father. Left to ourselves, we fall into these two ditches: legalism and license. In fact, left to ourselves, we manage to wallow around in both of them at the same time, indulging our sinful flesh, but thinking we're not as bad as this person over here and what they're doing. The heart is deceitful above all things. But the Holy Spirit, who has given us a new heart, actually, replace that old deceitful heart with a new heart that loves God. The Holy Spirit leads us in the way of grace. He leads us in the way of Jesus. The Holy Spirit leads us to believe in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit leads us to behave like Jesus. And if we are believers, that's what we want. It's what we desire. And what does behaving like Jesus look like? It looks like the fruit of the Spirit, described in verses 22 and 23. It is the fruit of the Spirit of the one who lives in us and who is forming Christ in us. The fruit of the Spirit. And it is the fruit of us asking. You know, We're looking at this past Wednesday night in Luke 11 and verse 13, where Jesus promises his disciples, "If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" The fruit of the Spirit in our lives is the fruit of us asking for the Spirit and yielding to the creative work of the Spirit so that Christ is seen in our lives more and more to the glory of God. So let us be a people asking for and yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.